To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. We're checking out The Adventures of Alibi Jones, science fiction adventure in the somewhat near future, set in the 2130s. It's chapter 26 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her. But I'll set it up so that if you haven't been listening, you can check it out. It's a pretty cool chapter, too. It's on the long side, and it features the scene that Federico Guillén drew and painted for the front cover of the book. So, if you've seen this cover picture with the podcast, you'll hear it play out in this chapter coming up. Alibi Jones, with the help of Brady Thomas, a bounty hunter, is going to be trying to get his friends Kit and Katie off of the planet Kismet, out of the clutches of crime lord Rene Lavallure. Only, neither Kit nor Katie really kind of like Alibi much anymore. Katie's his ex, and she's just kind of tired of him. And Kit blames Alibi for something he shouldn't. The death of Kit's bride. Which also makes Kit unsure if he really cares to be rescued, you know? But Alibi is still trying. He'll save them in spite of themselves. Well, maybe. He's going to try, anyway. The rescue is underway. The adventures of Alibi Jones continue. The chapter's just ahead, on Glow in the Dark Radio. First, a little bit of news. Man, how your world can change, you know? As of this past Thursday, I'm now doing internet radio at WBKM.org. You can listen all around the world. Building the future. I'm on at noon, Eastern Time, weekdays, on WBKM.org. You can listen on the site. There's a stream. It's also on streaming sites. It's on Facebook. That's an easy way to listen, the Facebook page. Just look for WBKM.org and go to that page. Oh, and this Friday, I found out I was nominated for Music Director of the Year for markets 50 and higher in our Adult Album Alternative format. That was for my work at The Point, the station that just let me go through no fault of my own. So it's kind of bittersweet in some ways. But still, it is awesome to be nominated. But helping shape the future of WBKM.org is the big news now. Nice to be instantly welcomed to a new team. And that's also why there was no podcast last week. I was helping them get things together. I hope you'll check it out. And again, you can listen all around the world. That's all for the news. Up next, Chapter 26 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her.
Are you having trouble keeping up with the ebbs and flows of modern geekery? Is the real world holding you back from knowing what is happening in the geeky world? To answer these and other personal problems brought in by your friends, gaming group, and loved ones, Geek Radio Daily presents daily informational sessions brought to you by the wonderful Billy Flynn, the Flynnstress, and podcasting's Rich Siegfried. They contain such helpful segments as history, geek birthdays, box office results, the latest in DVD and Blu-ray, video game and comic releases. Why, they also have a weekly show hosted by the wonderful Billy Flynn and the Flynnstress, which includes interviews and commentary. And to make sure you are informed, Geek Radio Daily also provides you with your daily dose of geek news to make sure you know more than that jerk know-it-all Steve. Visit us at geekradiodaily.com. That's right, Geek Radio Daily. All the geek without the weight. Now available in fine Corinthian leather.
Now here's Chapter 26 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her on Glow in the Dark Radio.
As they arrive on the other side of the city, Brady Thomas brings their hover car down to blend in with the regular traffic heading for the spaceport.
"Looks normal enough," Thomas observes,
weaving their vehicle into the stream of other hover cars and larger transports.
Traffic is flowing in and out. Looks good.
Good, Alibi says, cheering up.
Stop smiling, Thomas tells him. Peterson's gone offline at best. He's missing. They'll be looking for him. And when they find him, then the shit'll hit the fan. We gotta move fast.
Thomas pilots the hover car into the port itself. Instead of heading with the rest of the traffic towards the bays, where the ships are kept, he turns away and begins driving down an unmarked access road. Hey, Katie pipes up from the back seat, alarmed. Where are you going? Where are you taking us?
Port Authority, Thomas replies. Gotta run you two through the killbot removal process, or you'll have awful short trips with bad endings when we try to leave.
What? You're just gonna drive right in? She asks, incredulous.
Yep, Thomas says. Got this part planned out pretty good. Got passes, instructions. Thought it was important.
Well, yeah, Katie answers. Nobody gets in there, though.
Ah, the optimist speaks, Thomas cracks.
He shifts into an overemphasized voice like a footage announcer.
Watch as she pours cold water on all our plans to set her free.
There is an automated guard post, a checkpoint, up ahead, Kit says.
Not to worry, Thomas says, unless that works for you. As the hover car reaches the checkpoint, Thomas has it descend, bringing the hover car driver's side window even with the checkpoint security scanner. The checkpoint bathes the hover car in red light. All stop. Thomas produces a merchant pass from his jumpsuit pocket and holds it up for the scanner to read. The light turns green.
Next step won't be as easy, Thomas tells them, as he pulls the hover car away from the checkpoint.
He guides the car down a merchant path, past warehouses and cargo storage areas.
Taking the scenic route, he says, as they circle around the spread-out, standing cargo area.
Finally, they approach an official-looking building over near some ship's landing bays. They pull up to the back of the building, and Thomas lowers the hover car to the ground.
We'll go in the back way. Maintenance call.
Thomas digs a small, glossy black cube out of one of his pockets. He holds it up, displaying it to the others.
See this? This little fella's gonna tell this building's security system that we're not who we are. It'll see us as a maintenance crew. Found out that when any of Kismet's secure buildings go into maintenance mode, they empty them of workers and most external sensors shut down. Guess La Velour doesn't think it's worth paying attention to the cleaners. Once we convince the building we're maintenance, we'll have the place to ourselves. We'll be able to do what we want for about a half an hour.
Really? Katie asks, with sarcasm heavy in her tone of voice. That little thing's supposed to do all that, huh?
Oh, ye of little faith, Brady Thomas says.
Actually, that is where La Velour usually screws up, Katie admits. She frowns. What do you mean? Alibi asks. He doesn't pay much attention to the cleanup. The dirty details, Katie explains. We get away with a lot when we're on maintenance crew duty. Nobody on the crews will report the shortfalls because the security lapses mean we get to goof off. It would be stupid to report them.
Good point, Alibi says.
We've got so little freedom as it is, Katie says. Why risk losing any more? Thomas gets out of the hover car. He walks over to the closed vehicle door in the back wall of the building. After squinting at the door's controls for a moment, he presses the small cube up against the control panel. Thomas then gets back in the car. Well? Katie asks.
Wait for it, Thomas says.
The four of them sit in silence inside the hover car for a moment. The large door in front of them begins to slide up and open.
See? Thomas says.
He shifts the hover car's controls, and they roll through the open door and into the building, into what appears to be a maintenance vehicle bay. Thomas jumps up out of the hover car. He runs outside to the door controls and pulls off the black cube. Ducking back inside, he finds the internal control panel for the door and again affixes the cube. The door slides down and shuts, sealing them inside the building.
Thomas opens the door of the hover car.
He leans in.
Let's go! We've got less than a half an hour now, he says.
They exit the hover car. Alibi, Katie, and Kit follow Brady Thomas over to a utility door. The door is unlocked. Thomas leads them inside the building. Once inside the facility,
They hear an announcement being broadcast aloud, echoing through empty hallways.
Please exit this facility. A scheduled maintenance session is now underway. Please advance to the exits and leave this building. Your needs will be accommodated at one of our other facilities. A shuttle car will be provided for those who require ground transportation.
Automated announcement, Katie says.
Ignore it, Thomas says. Does this mean we'll have full run of this facility?
Kit asks.
For a little while, Thomas answers.
Kit nods, showing his appreciation for Thomas's planning.
Well done, Kit says. So far.
Ever cautious, eh, Catman? Brady cracks. Can't say as I blame you. All right, let's go. Should be a room up here on the left.
Thomas leads the group into a room with four gray metallic bed-like platforms, each lined with ridged strips of shining gold metal. Each platform has a cover of similar design suspended over it.
Katie, Kit, why don't you go ahead and get on those beds? Thomas says.
Katie and Kit exchange curious glances, but then make their way over to the platforms. They each lie down, the Dakur on one bed, Katie on another. Thomas looks around and then crosses the room to an elaborate-looking control panel he spots on the back wall. He studies the controls for a moment. Finally, seeing the command buttons he's looking for, he pushes the control panel in two places. The platforms suspended over both Kit and Katie lower over them, sealing each of them inside a sort of metal cocoon.
Hope you're not claustrophobic, Alibi says.
Not helpful, Thomas mutters as he reads through the command buttons on the control panel.
Sorry, Alibi says. All right, here we go, Thomas says.
He punches in the commands to start the process of disabling the killbots. Inside each metal cocoon, the ridged gold metal strips light up. Light streams from the seams between the top and bottom of both platforms, bathing the entire room in a golden-orange light. The light then begins pulsing, dimming and brightening. A low, throbbing hum accompanies the pulsing light. Alibi approaches Katie's cocoon. As he nears, Thomas cautions him away.
Better stay clear, kid, Thomas says. We don't know what'll happen to you if you don't have killbots in your blood.
Alibi backs away from her cocoon. The light continues to pulse. Thomas is studying a screen in the control panel. Alibi can't see it past the man's head.
How long is this going to take? Alibi asks.
Not sure exactly, Thomas says.
They're at about 30% right now, looks like.
30% of what?
I don't know exactly, Thomas says. 30% of being done, I guess.
He squints at the screen in front of him.
Now, 35.
Alibi waits and watches as the light pulses and the hum throbs on. Thomas turns away from the controls.
Maybe if I don't watch the screen, it'll go faster, Thomas says. Knew a bartender once who used to say a watch pot never boils.
What does that mean? Alibi asks.
Not sure exactly, Thomas says. But it means that sometimes when you're waiting for something, it's better not to watch it develop too closely. Makes it seem like it takes longer.
Really? That makes no sense, Alibi says.
I don't know, Thomas says. Kind of works for me.
Thomas turns back to the control panel. He squints to read the screen.
See? 61%!
He smiles as he turns back to Alibi.
Gotta keep myself from looking again too soon.
Seems silly to me, but if it works for you... Alibi leaves the thought and the sentence hanging.
Some things just are, kid. Part of the underlying order of the universe, Thomas says.
What, now you're a philosopher? Alibi chuckles.
Maybe.
Thomas turns back to look at the screen.
80%.
Alibi realizes the public address announcement is still going off in the hallways outside. He can just detect the voice above the throbbing hum of the light platforms, present but not loud enough to make out words. He can tell it's still the same message, over and over. As the throbbing hum and the barely detectable repetitive message continue, Alibi zones out, hypnotized by the sounds. He sways in place to the rhythm of the throbbing lights. He's still swaying after the light stops. The voice in the hall outside drones on. Thomas punches the command buttons, and the covering piece to each platform rises up and off. Each is once again suspended in place, above its lower counterpart. Katie and Kit each sit up on their platforms.
Shit, Katie says. I can't see.
I cannot see either, Kit says.
Should be temporary, Thomas says. Come on, stand up. Alibi and me will help guide you out and back to the hover car. Alibi? Alibi?
Huh? Alibi snaps out of his spell. Oh, sorry.
Good, they're done.
Yeah, but we're kind of blind, Katie cracks.
You should each use the flushing agent now, Thomas says. Takes a little while before the bots are gone completely. You'll get the urge to hit the refresher in about 20 minutes. After that, you'll be ready to fly.
Katie and Kit each bring out their container of flushing agent.
Hey!
Katie lets out a cry as she opens her container.
I thought I was going to drink this, not inject it.
She points the open-top exposed hyperderm at Thomas.
Drink? Ha! Thomas says. Might work, but it'd take way too much time. Here, you want me to do it?
Thomas approaches her.
No,
she says. She pulls back. She calls over to Alibi.
Alibi, would you do this?
Kit lets out a grumbling growl as he injects himself with his flushing agent. Alibi walks over to Katie. She hands him her container. He looks at the hypodermic end as she holds out her arm.
Sure is a lot of stuff in here. Does it all go in?
Alibi asks Thomas.
Yep, that's what they told me, Thomas says. Probably how it flushes the killbots out of the blood so quick. Do it!
Katie snaps at Alibi, losing patience. Alibi presses the container against her arm.
Ah!
Katie lets out a grunt.
Oh, damn,
she says. Her eyes roll back in her head. She falls. Alibi lunges and grabs at her as she collapses. He gets a grip on part of her jumpsuit top, enough to slow her fall so she doesn't crack her skull open on the ground. After keeping her from hitting hard, he lays her down on the floor as softly as he can. She's breathing heavily and unconscious. Alibi looks up from her and over at Kit. The Dakur is standing with his paws clenched into fists, each arm held tight at his sides. His eyes are closed and his teeth are clenched. Alibi realizes a steady low growl is coming from the catman's tightly clenched teeth.
Huh, Thomas exclaims. Didn't know it would do that to them.
You don't think Lavalure would want it to be a pleasant experience, do you?
Alibi says. Probably didn't give a shit either way, Thomas points out. Hope this doesn't take long. We're running out of time. Arr!
Kit bellows. He opens his eyes, blinking. His paws unclench, and he flexes them. Alibi sees a shiver ripple through him. Then the catman shakes and seems himself again, though with an edge.
I can feel it in me, he says to Alibi and Thomas. It burns in my blood.
I'm sorry, Alibi says, feeling ineffectual.
Least you'll be able to leave this place, Thomas points out.
Kit shivers and spasms in pain, and again growls a low growl. The three of them look down at Katie, curled up into a fetal position on the floor. Those bots were in her blood for a long time, Alibi says. Does that make a difference?
Damned if I know, Thomas says.
Oh, Katie sighs. She rolls over onto her back, uncurling.
Get up, sunshine, we gotta go, Thomas calls out to her.
Fuck you, she mumbles. She blinks her eyes open. She leans over on her side and then tries to prop herself up into a sitting position. She manages to sit and then wraps her arms around her knees, pulling her legs in close in the sitting equivalent of the fetal position.
We're out of time, Katie, Alibi pleads. We gotta go. Your veins aren't the ones on fire, she snaps at him, taking her anger at her pain out on Alibi. No reason to be such a bitch, Thomas says. Kid was trying to help you.
Thomas turns to Alibi.
What did you ever see in this girl?
Katie manages to lurch to her feet.
Fuck you! She screams at Thomas.
She starts towards him, but stumbles from her pain. She falls into him. He holds on to her, stops her fall, and stands her back up again. She recovers and then glares at him, angry that she needed his help.
Enough! Thomas cuts her off. Let's go!
Thomas leads them out of the room, followed by Kit, then Katie, with Alibi bringing up the rear and watching out for the two in front of him.
Thought if I got you angry enough, it would get you up, Thomas says to Katie over his shoulder. It worked!
Wait a second, Alibi says, stopping. The others stop and look back at him. I don't hear it anymore. Where's the announcement?
Ah, hell, Thomas says. We're out of time. Hurry up!
Thomas runs ahead, down the hall, and out through the utility door into the maintenance vehicle bay. Kit and Katie follow as fast as they can behind him. Behind them, Alibi feels selfish and guilty, as he wishes they would both move faster.
Go, 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 go!
Alibi thinks it, but doesn't say it out loud. At least he doesn't mean to.
I'm going as fast as I can,
Katie snaps back at him. She stumbles through the utility door ahead of Alibi. He punches the door controls to close it once he gets through. Thomas already has the hover car up and running. He's opened up all four car doors and stands next to the open door on the driver's side waiting for the rest of them. The outer door is slowly sliding up and open behind him.
The cube's still working. Come on,
he calls over to them. Kit, Katie, and Alibi make their way over to the hover car. Kit gets in on the passenger side in the back. Katie in back behind the driver. Alibi plops into the passenger seat in front as Thomas hops in to drive. Thomas eases the hover car out of the building, then stops.
Why are you stopping?
Alibi asks.
Gotta get the cube. Close the door. Try to keep our tracks covered,
Thomas explains. He gets out of the hover car, leaving his door open. Alibi watches through the open door as Thomas runs inside, grabs the cube, and comes running back out again. The door begins sliding down to close as Thomas jogs back to the hover car. He tosses Alibi the cube and begins to get in.
You know, that went better than I could have hoped.
Flash!
A searing, white-blue blaster beam punches through Thomas's shoulder, knocking him backwards and down into the hover car, landing his smoking body in Alibi's lap. Alibi shakes off the shock as another beam blasts the car.
Flash!
He pulls Thomas over towards the passenger side of the hover car and climbs over him onto the driver's side. The second beam flashes by without hitting anything, harmless, but Thomas is in bad shape.
Ugh,
Thomas grunts as he stirs out of shock.
Go, kid,
he mumbles.
Go.
Flash!
The searing blue beam blasts off the open driver's side door next to Alibi. The heat next to him feels like a furnace. But he saw where the blast came from, in front of them. Alibi throws the hover car's shifter hard forward. The hover car slides ahead, fast like a bullet.
Thunk! Thunk!
Alibi hears the impacts almost instantly.
Didn't know there were two of them,
he says mostly to himself. He throttles back the hover car so he doesn't drive into a wall. He turns the car towards the cargo area, but heads at an angle back towards the main entrance to the ship's landing bays.
Bay 134,
Thomas says, in a weak voice. Alibi looks over at him. There's a burnt circular hole, clear through the man's upper right torso.
It's a wonder he's still alive.
Alibi sets Bay 134 as their destination. The hover car rises to join up with regular traffic that's been passing above them.
Here!
Thomas's left arm flops onto Alibi as Thomas tries to give him something. Ship's key cards. They fall onto Alibi's lap. Alibi grabs them to keep the cards from falling out the open door.
Don't try to take off without the keys, Thomas says. She'll take off, but then vent all the oxygen when you're past orbit.
We're going to get you out of here, Alibi says. Stay with us, Brady Thomas.
He looks over to give Thomas encouragement. He's looking at a dead man.
Shit.
Alibi doesn't know what to say. Brady Thomas is dead, his blasted body crumpled into the passenger side of the front seat of the hover car. On the other side of Alibi, wind rips past the open space where the door used to be, next to the driver's seat. The hover car whisks them up towards the main gate and the landing bays. The hover car suddenly stops, frozen in place. A voice comes over the car's speakers.
This is Kismet Control. There is currently a security situation. We ask your patience as we stop each vehicle entering the port. There has been a report of possible terrorist activity. While it may be a false alarm or a hoax, we at Kismet Control must take every threat seriously to ensure your safety. Your vehicle has been added to an automatic queue and will be moved along as quickly as possible as the vehicles in front of your own are inspected and passed through. We thank you for your patience.
Alibi tries the hover car controls. He can't move forward or side to side, but the car will move in reverse. Trying reverse and finding no resistance, Alibi slams the hover car controls hard in reverse and down, dropping them back and out of the line of spaceport traffic. Alibi keeps the hover car from hitting other vehicles as best he can, staring over his shoulder. He manages to bring the hover car down into the cargo area, finally landing between two warehouses. Damn, he sighs, relieved at landing.
What now?
Kit asks from behind him. They hear shouting.
There it is! The one without the door!
Fwash! Fwash!
Two Kismet security guards start firing at Alibi through the car's open door. The blasts go wide and hit the side of the warehouse, blasting through some poor merchant's precious inventory as if it were soft butter. Now outside of the security force's control beams, Alibi throws the horizontal control hard forward, and they shoot back up above the warehouses. There are now Kismet Security Force hover cars patrolling the sky. Alibi tries to avoid them, tries to keep the good side of the hover car facing any security cars he spots. He flies them back to the city proper, and back underneath, into the bustling workers' section. Alibi parks the hover car in the first open spot he sees. Come on, he calls to Kit and Katie as he hops out of the hover car. They're already getting out. We need another car, Alibi tells the other two, one with a driver's side door.
What are we going to do with him? Kit asks, nodding at Thomas's body.
Leave it, Katie says, a little coldly. They find him with the hover car here, they might think he acted alone. Keep them off our trail for a little while. She looks Alibi in the eye. Wouldn't matter if we had another car. We can't go to the spaceport right now. We need to lie low for a few hours. We do? Alibi asks. Absolutely, she says. We can't go through a screening at the port gate. Gotta wait until they open it up again. They will. Long lines are bad for business. When they open it back up, we'll grab a hover car, head back to his ship, and go. We're lucky he gave you his ship's key cards. Otherwise, they'd find them on him, and know which ship was his, after they find the body. Alibi looks over at the hover car, sees Thomas's body inside. Come on, Alibi. I know a safe place we can hide for a while, Katie says. Plus, I've got a piss like you wouldn't believe. Must be the flushing agent.
Yes, I must find a refresher as well. And soon, Kit says.
That was Chapter 26 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her on Glow in the Dark Radio. No, Brady Thomas is dead. Alibi, Katie, and Kit can't get into the spaceport. Their hover car is damaged. They're back underneath the city of Kismet. At least Katie and Kit don't have killbots in their blood anymore. So they now can leave, they just might not be able to leave. Find out if they can figure a way to get to Brady Thomas's ship and get off Kismet in our next chapter, Chapter 27 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her, coming up next time on Glow in the Dark Radio. And my big news, I'm on WBKM.org now, and I'm helping to shape the mix on the station too, so anytime you're listening, you're hearing my handiwork, except for the specialty shows. Those are their own. People host those and come up with some amazing things. WBKM.org, you can listen online. We're going to have an app in the next week or so, too, to make it even easier. That's all for this time. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. and I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.